Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet daily. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on listeners' questions when we come back. You know, 3,300 years ago, Moses instructed our fathers. He said, "You shall not have in your bag diverse weights of great and small. You shall not have in your house diverse measures of great and small, but you shall have a perfect and a just weight. A perfect and a just measure shall you have." Well, you know, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention back in 1787 followed that scriptural principle of law when they put into our Constitution, at Article 1, Section 10, these 17 words. It says, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debts." Well, in 1933, President Roosevelt took our gold away, and in 1964, President Johnson took silver coin out of circulation. Now, in place of just weights and measures. These two presidents have introduced our current practice of the first, second, and fifth planks to the Communist Manifesto into our monetary system, and they gave us Federal Reserve notes in place of gold-backed treasury bills and clad coinage in place of silver coins. Now, in the intervening 70 years or so, we Americans have gone from being the world's number one creditor nation until today we're the world's number one debtor nation. Now, who do you think were the better financial planners for our nation, Moses and our founding fathers, or Franklin D. Roosevelt and Lyndon Baines Johnson? Now, if you'd like to learn more about hard money and how to use it properly, it's another of the many lessons that we teach here in our Mosaic Law School, which we conduct here at the law school twice a year. If you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order our free General Law CD package? That's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Now, our Mosaic Law School is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click on to the email. Send us an email request for that free General Law CD package, or you can download it directly from our webpage. Again, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. You can call us direct at 417-273-4967. You know, once in a while we get a letter here at the law school asking us a variety of questions, and sometimes these questions, they get to be repetitious. And I thought I would hit some of these questions here on the air. They're good questions, and they come in such volume that I simply don't have the time to answer all of them. And oftentimes, listeners will say, "Well, you know, you're kind of rude. You know, I wrote you an email and you didn't answer." So let me start off by telling you that here at the law school, there's only three of us, my wife, myself, and my son, Dirk. We do not have 15 hot and cold running secretaries running back and forth pouring coffee for all of the chief executives and the vice presidents who are writing letters and answering questions. If you're interested in writing questions and getting answers, you probably need to write to the televangelists on television who specialize in that kind of business. Here at the law school, we don't do that. However, we do answer questions, and, you know, I do answer the mail, but there are some things that we just haven't got the time to do. Now, here's a question that comes in quite often, probably once a week, as to our radio broadcasts and reproduction of them. Here's a letter, very typical, and it says, "I'm Lori, and I'm a longtime fan of yours, and I love the fact that you document everything. I want to ask for permission to request your permission on your website to play your recordings from your radio show. Here's some information about the chat room that I attend, and it's called Pal Talk." And she explains that, and then she talks about social issues and politics and human rights and the Wake Up Project and so on. And she goes on and sends me a little bit more of what I like to hear, you know, stroking me and telling me how wonderful I am and how I walk on water and how great I am. And thank you, Lori. Gotta love it. And just keep sending me those emails and telling me about how great I am. That's called vanity. And everybody is motivated by vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear, and I'm not any different than anybody else. Now, let's get to the nuts and bolts of it. Our radio program is done here in my office on a machine, and I'm sitting here looking at my machine right now, and we put out these compact discs, and then we send it off to our producer in Springfield, Missouri. The producer then puts it up online. How he does that, I don't know. But he puts it up online, and it goes out on our webpage, and it's available for downloading worldwide. And radio stations download it and play it all over the world. And they do that. I don't pay them to do that. I used to do that. I used to be on radio, and I paid lots of money to have my program put out. Now we don't do that. We put it out on the Internet, and radio stations that want to download it and play it can. It's free, and anybody in the world can download it and play it. And that includes you. You can download it and you can play it until your heart's content. The one thing that we bar is the reproduction and replaying of our schools. We have 8 schools, and those now are intellectual property. And then we prohibit people from downloading and reproducing and copying and redistributing free or for money our school. But our radio programs are free of charge. Now, here's what I would ask. If you're going to download our program and then you're going to play it, would you play the entirety of it? Because oftentimes I give interviews. And it's easy to take an interview and to take a sentence out or to drop a sentence out, which is called editing. And then you can make me say just about anything you want me to say by taking out, or I haven't heard of anybody adding in, but oftentimes they'll edit out. So I don't mind being punished for what I say, but I really don't want to be punished for what I didn't say or what I didn't mean. So if you would be just good enough to just play the thing in its entirety, or the statement, or the comment that I make, I would appreciate that. All right, so we get a lot of letters that ask, well, no, can I download your radio programs? The answer is, yep, they're out there free of charge. It doesn't cost you anything to do that. All right, now, that's a 1, 2, let's see, there's a second item over here I wanted to cover. No reproduction of our schools. All right, number 3 here. Here's a letter from a guy named Vic, and he says, I'm really fascinated with common law and very much enjoy Mr. Gordon's website. I'd love to take some classes, but my West Coast location makes this somewhat less feasible. So I was so glad to discover the offer of the classes on Compact Disc, and what a wonderful way for students to be prepared ahead of actually attending the classes. So I'm wondering about ordering the CDs. Is there an order form? And I'm particularly interested in the business class, the status and tax class, and Title 42, and civil rights, and basic courtroom strategy and procedure class. Please let me know what the cost is and how to order, and I'll surely make an effort to attend classes in person one of these days. This is a lady by the name of Victoria. We receive a lot of letters from people that are asking about the price of our schools and why we don't publish it on the website and so on. So let's take a look here at business. We practice private business here. This is not a public business such as Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola or Office Depot. And for most people, when you tell them that this is not a public business, they kind of look at you like, huh, you're on the radio, you're on the internet, and you operate a school. So when I tell them that this is a private school, they understand private business. You know, most people, if you think about private business, they think about Ford Motor Company and General Motors, private business. And then they think about public business, and they think about Arizona, New Mexico, and Florida. And they think that public business is something to do with government and the public, and private business is something to do with the stock market and multinational corporations. Well, that's not quite correct. There are not very many private businesses in America. And the case that governs this is called the Charles Wolfe Packing Company versus Court of Industrial Relations of the State of Kansas. So I'm going to tell you a little story here. So gather around here, boys and girls, and if you want, get your pen and paper out. This case is cited at 262 U.S. 522. It's called the Charles Wolfe Packing Company versus the Court of Industrial Relations of the State of Kansas. It's an old case, pretty old, 1923. It was decided on June the 11th, 1923, cited again at 262 U.S. 522. So if you'll just write that down, and that's the U.S. Supreme Court Reports, 262, that's the volume number, 262 U.S. 522 is the page number, in case you want to look this up and read it. Now, we don't publish our prices of our schools on the internet because that would be public business. In order for you to make contact with us, if you want to go to school here, this is a private school. You come here by invitation only. This is not like the public schools that are open to the public. It's not even like the average private school where you go up and you sit down and you sign up and you participate in this corporate entity, you know, like the Baptist day school or something like that. See, those are really not private schools. They're called private, but they're really not. Now, we're not licensed, bonded, or insured. Licensed, bonded, or insured. And we have to do business strictly within the guidelines that are set down by the Congress and by the Supreme Court of the United States pursuant to our Constitution. Now, most businesses get a business license, and then they advertise on billboards and radio and television and newspapers and yellow pages and things like that. We do not advertise on any of these mediums. None. We do not advertise because that would be affecting a public interest. So if we want to do trade, commerce, business, or industry, which affects a public interest, we would have to be licensed, bonded, and insured. So Article 1, Section 8 of our Constitution, which is called the Commerce Clause, governs this, and Congress, when they enact laws, enact all laws that come out of our Congress or our legislatures, they're done pursuant to Article 1, Section 8. The Gordon Law School does not do business in commerce. We avoid commerce like AIDS, herpes, and VD. We don't belong to the Chamber of Commerce. We don't practice commerce. We practice property. We don't practice the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. We practice the 10 commandment model. It's kind of a wild, crazy idea. Wild and crazy idea. Now, let me explain to you from Wolf Company versus Industrial Corp. Businesses that are said to be clothed with a public interest justifying some public regulation may be divided into three classes. So here are the three classes of businesses that are clothed with public regulation. Okay, number one. Those businesses which are carried on under authority of a public grant of privileges expressly or impliedly demanded by any member of the public, such as the business of a common carrier or a public utility. So if I operate my law school like the power company or the telephone company does, or if I were to operate it like the Yellow Cab Company or Yellow Freight or Garrett Freight Lines, then I would have to be licensed, bonded, insured, and regulated by government. Now, we want to avoid that. We want to practice the Ten Commandment model, so we have to avoid operating in that sphere of public institution or public business. Now, the second class, certain occupations that are regarded as exceptional, the public interest attached to which, recognized from earliest times, has survived the period of arbitrary regulation of all trades and callings by parliaments or colonial legislatures. These are businesses such as inns, cabs, and grist mills. Inns, cabs, and grist mills. So if I wanted to operate a Holiday Inn, a Yellow Cab, or a grist mill, that is something that's open to the public. And this is kind of a strange phenomenon. You see, this law school is located on a farm at the end of a dead-end road, which is not marked. If you came here without directions, you could not find it. Many times people have come here to Isabella, Missouri. They actually found Isabella. And then called me on the telephone from Springfield or some other locations. I was there and I couldn't find the place. That's exactly right. It isn't marked. We don't have any billboards out here. We're not open to the public. It's a private school. It's like walking into somebody's living room. It's that private. I know it sounds kind of crazy, but by doing business this way, we get certain benefits that come from the private business model that public business doesn't have to offer. Now, the third group of businesses here, other businesses which have come to have such a peculiar relation to the public, that government regulation has been superimposed upon them, where the owner, by devoting his business to the public use, in effect grants the public an interest in that use and subjects himself to regulation to the extent of such interest. All right, so if I were to put a billboard up on the highway that said, Gordon's Law School, welcome, we accept MasterCard and Visa, see, that affects the public interest. That's why we don't advertise in the Yellow Pages. You won't find us on radio or television. You don't see us advertised anywhere. Now, the Supreme Court has given us some means of advertising and communication with people, but you know, I could put a flyer under the windshield wiper of your car. I could put a business card up on a bulletin board in the laundromat. I could call you on the telephone. I can use the internet on my own private web page. And that's because in each and every one of these cases here, this is a personal, private communication between just me and you. Just me and you. The minute I bring in a third party to make contact with you, I'm engaging in public business regulated by government. So that's why I can't go to, you know, say KY3 TV and put on an ad. That's why I can't put a billboard up here on the highway. Now, I could probably do that if I owned my own billboard on my own property. I could probably do that. But I couldn't, you know, put my name and address up on somebody else's billboard and pay them rent for it or put an ad in the Yellow Pages and things like that. Now, that's what we're prohibited from doing. Now, here's the kicker. It's on page 523. It's paragraph 5. It says, the option to deal or to abstain from dealing usually distinguishes private from quasi-public occupations. So if I want to be private, I have to have the option to deal or not to deal. So there cannot be any third parties involved in our conversation or transaction. And this is why we require that you call us on the telephone. You want to know what the price of a school is or whether you can attend? Okay. I'm not going to call you. I am not trying to get you to come to my school. I'm not trying to get you to give up pork or to give your heart to Jesus or to repent or do anything else. Not our objective. That's not our goal here. Now, if you, on your own will and volition, call me on the telephone and you say, hey, listen, I'd like to talk to you. And if I agree to talk to you, that's a two-party transaction. That's private. And you and I can just talk and talk and talk until our heart's content. So if you want to know about our schools and about our program and so on, well, you just call me on the telephone. We give our number out here, you know, three or four times during each program. And you can give us a call. and we'll talk to you. And if we agree that you agree with us, and we think that you can come to our school, and you want to come to our school, and you want to pay our price and pay it the way we want it, well, then that's fine. And if you don't, hey, listen, just let it ride. Just let it ride. We're not here trying to get you to join up. You don't have to join anything. You can listen to the program. It's free of charge. But we get a lot of calls, and a lot of times people want to know, well, how come you don't publish all this? You know, put this out there. If I put my prices out here on the internet, then I'm engaging in public business, which is prohibited by our Constitution at Article 1, Section 8. And that's the bottom line. So I cannot tell you. But you can call me and ask, and if you'll call and ask and initiate the conversation, God, we can talk under the First Amendment's freedom of speech provision until hell freezes over. But if I go out here and solicit your business, if I'm out here knocking on your door or trying to get you to come to my school, then I'm engaging in trade, commerce, business, and industry, which affects a public interest. And that's what I need to avoid. I cannot affect a public interest. Okay. Now, you're going to sit there and say, well, that sounds kind of crazy. Well, I agree with you. Now, you go take that up with the Congress of the United States and the Supreme Court and the President, and you tell them, I think that's crazy, and get it changed. And if you can get it changed, God love you. I'll get right there behind you. But meanwhile, back here on the farm, I don't make these laws. I did not create them. It was already in full force and effect when I arrived on the scene as a little kid back in the 1930s. So, Victoria, if you would like to go to school and you're interested in schools here, the next step is just call us on the telephone and ask us directly, and we'd be happy to answer your question. All right, here's number four. Here's question number four. A guy writes me a letter. He says, Dear George, the other day I was listening to your series on another popular lie on tape number three, and you were talking about Essiac and the various botch of Egypt cures. Now, one thing that you said was totally wrong, so I thought you would like to know about it. You claimed that Essiac was illegal in Canada and had to find it in the underground market. Luckily for us Canadians, Essiac is not illegal, and it is available at most health food stores. And I've even bought it from one of our major grocery stores. You can buy it already in liquid form for about $39 for a 500 milliliter bottle, or in the dry herb stage where you have to brew it yourself. The dry price is about the same, but you can make a lot more. Sometimes it even goes on sale. I've bought it for as low as $29. We also sell another product called Florescence, which is a takeoff on Essiac, but has a few more ingredients in it. It contains burdock root, sheep sorrel, slippery elm bark, watercress, Turkish rhubarb, root, kelp, blessed thistle, and red clover blossom. So I picked up a 3-pack of 500 milliliter bottles, liquid form, pre-made for $56 on sale. So, in closing, if someone you know that lives in Canada, or if you have some Canadian coming to take one of your courses, maybe have them pick you up a few bottles so you can stock up on Essiac, as it is readily available and very legal to buy here in Canada. I live in Windsor, Ontario, Canada, across the river from Detroit, Michigan, so I do speak from firsthand experience and authority. Respectfully, Tim. I receive a number of letters that correct me from time to time, and sometimes I make mistakes, and then I don't deny it. But I didn't make a mistake here, Tim. When I told you that Essiac in Canada is illegal, I wasn't whistling Dixie through a straw hat. And I don't deny that you can buy Essiac on over the counter. I'm not disputing that. Now, if you'll go back and listen again, I told the story about Rene Cassie. Now, that's quite a story, and it's more than I can tell here in the next 5 or 10 minutes, so I'm not going to try. But let me give you a little background. Rene Cassie was a nurse back in World War I. She lived in Canada. I forgot exactly where, somewhere in eastern Canada, probably out there right there next door to where you're at. And she was doing her job in a hospital, and a lady came in. And this lady had some scars on her, and Rene Cassie asked this lady what those scars were from, and she said it was from cancer. And Cassie, being a nurse, was curious and said, well, what? Tell me about it. And she said, well, I had some Ojibwe. Now, if you're an Indian up there in Canada, and I think it's the Ojibwe Indian tribe. Ojibwe. Now, if I don't pronounce that name correctly, now don't get angry with me, but if that isn't correct, then you know who you are, don't you? So there was an Indian tribe up there, and I think they're called the Ojibwes or Ojibwe Indians, and they had a formula, an organic formula, herbal formula for curing cancer. Now, cancer is a metabolic disorder. It's relatively easily cured. There are 14 cures to cancer, and Essiac is one of them. But Tim, this Essiac that you're buying is not the Rene Cassie formula, because it's missing one ingredient. And the one ingredient that it's missing is bloodroot. Bloodroot. And if you'll take a look here at this fluorescence over here, you cited the label. then I want you to notice that there's no bloodroot. Now, bloodroot is the active ingredient that kills the tumor. That's what kills tumors, bloodroot. And you can't put the bloodroot in it in Canada because in 1937, the Canadian Parliament voted it down. See, Rene Cassidy tried to get this cancer formula enacted into law in Canada. Now, the powers that be, just for the rest of you people out there, need to understand the powers that be do not want a cure for cancer. The American Medical Association does not want a cure for cancer. The Canadian Medical Association doesn't want one. The Canadian Parliament doesn't want it. The American Congress doesn't want it. Now, I don't doubt that there's a lot of people out there that would like to have a cure to cancer, especially those that are afflicted with it. And I wouldn't doubt that there's probably even some doctors out there, maybe even a politician or two that might want a cure. But let me assure you that the American Medical Association and the pharmaceutical industry and the powers that be don't. And that's why for 100 years you haven't, and you don't now, and you are not going to have a cure for cancer in the foreseeable future. And that's because it's a $500 billion a year business, and we're not going to screw up a gravy train like that by putting bloodroot in the SEAC. It ain't going to happen. Now, you can buy this SEAC formula over the counter. It's lacking the bloodroot, but now you need to buy the bloodroot separately and then put it in. For most of you people out there, that's tricky because you don't know how much bloodroot to put in, and bloodroot is poison. I got to tell you, you know, and that's why it's banned. See, the FDA down here, see, they banned the use of bloodroot down here in the States because it's a poison. So, hey, we want to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the public, so we're going to ban it. Well, come on. You know, there's a lot of things out there that are poison in excess, but it's a medicine if you use it in moderation. Alcohol, you know, is a poison if you take too much of it, but, you know, most people are drinking alcohol, and they don't kill themselves with it because they drink it in moderation. So there's the story. Now, there's one more thing I should point out. Most of the herbs that are used in most of these over-the-counter formulas come from India, Ceylon, or someplace else, and they're imported. And when they're imported, to keep the insects out of it, they irradiate them. When you irradiate the herbs, you kill the enzymes. Well, son, the enzymes are what the active ingredients are in the herbs that you need for their healing properties. It's kind of like milk. Let me just give you a quick illustration here with milk. When God made milk, he made a pretty good product. In fact, he called Palestine the land of milk and honey, but they were unpasteurized. Now, when you drink pasteurized milk, it's toxic, and it's toxic because there's an enzyme in cow's milk, an enzyme. And the enzyme in the cow's milk is necessary for digestion. That's why most of you people out there are lactose intolerant, or you have an allergy to milk, or a lactose intolerance, and that's because you don't have the enzyme. When you pasteurize the milk, you kill the enzyme. Now, when this milk is digested, it goes into your arteries and it causes atherosclerosis. Well, that's good for the medical industry because when you plug up your arteries, then we need bypass surgery, don't we? And that's worth $100,000. So the medical profession isn't telling you not to drink pasteurized milk. They don't care about that. But my God, they don't want you to drink raw milk. Raw milk. And that's because the raw milk has the enzyme, and the enzyme will melt the plaque out of your arteries. Now, I'm an old man and I've been drinking raw milk all my life. There was a 20-year period when I didn't drink raw milk, and I got atherosclerosis, and it plugged up my veins, and I had a heart attack. And then I went on a regimen of drinking raw cow's cream for 90 days and melted, this is called chelation, just melted the plaque out of my arteries. Okay. Now, SEAC is one of the 14 cancer cures, and Rene Cassidy's book, and I reported on Rene Cassidy's book and gave you the name, address, and phone number where you could get it, has the original SEAC formula in it. Now, and in the proper proportions. Now, if you've got the SEAC book and you've got the original formula, including the bloodroot, and if it's not irradiated, then you've got the original stuff that came right from the Indians, and it works like a shot. Now, if you're buying this stuff in the form of fluorescence is a good product, and I'm not knocking it. And SEAC is a good product as long as it's non-irradiated. And it's got the other elements in it, but it's lacking the one that you need to kill the tumor. So if you're looking for the original SEAC formula, which is what I was reporting on, then it's banned in Canada. You can't get it there, and haven't been able to get it since 1937, unless something has happened and the Canadian Parliament's changed its tune or something in the last month or two. I think that that's still the case. But I appreciate your letter, and thank you so much for giving me the information, and that gives me an opportunity to report to all of the listeners around the world who may have said to themselves, well, you know, Gordon, you made a mistake. I can buy this ESSIAC right across the counter over here, and you're taking this ESSIAC, and then you're going to die from cancer, and then you know who you're going to blame? You're going to say, my God, Gordon said ESSIAC would cure cancer, and I took ESSIAC, and I died. Gordon lied to me. So, and so I take the heat for lying to you, and it wasn't me at all. It was the Canadian Parliament. But, so I always say, you know, please quote me and get the whole story. Don't just take half of it. All right, now I'm a little over time. Let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective, United States schools and all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967 and asking for it. Again, that number is 417-273-4967. And if you're online, you can download that free CD package right off the Internet. Now, a lot of times I get letters, and many of you people have been writing to me and asking for it. I used to send it out here from the law school directly. And my boy got sick, and he was in the hospital, and we got behind. And so I said, well, I guess we've got so many orders for them, and they're just the three of us here. You know, this is not, you know, we're not running some big multinational operation here. I just simply couldn't keep up with them all, so I put it on the Internet. Now, that's a downer, because now we don't have that personal communication initiated by me sending that to you. See, that's what bypasses this public business thing. You know, when you wrote in and you called me, and then I would send you that CD package. See, now we're in private business. You and I are communicating privately, and we could do that. Now I have to put it on the Internet. So now, if I put it on the Internet, you can get the information, but now you've got to call me. You know, if you're interested, call. If you don't call me, I'm not calling you. And that's because I cannot solicit your business. No, I've got to be licensed to solicit your business. You don't have to be licensed to call me and solicit me. But, you know, let's be intelligent people here. I don't make these laws, so I just wanted to tell you that that's the way the game's played. Now, the Law Hour, an editorial review, gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements, these recommendations that we're giving out, don't mean that the authors and publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. So keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and editorial review, they may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans. And their viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or this local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, let me point out another little thing that happens here. Quite often people will send me legal briefs, and they evidently want me to read this legal brief, correct it, and then send it back with my recommendations and opinions as to how you should correct it or how you should present it and so on. Well, number one, I don't have time to read them all. And I can tell you without exaggeration that we receive about one a day. Now, that's about, you know, 300 a year. Sometimes they're 5 or 10 pages. Sometimes they're 50 or 75 pages. I happen to have one here on my desk. Once in a while, somebody sends something here of interest to me personally, and I might read that brief. So I'm not telling you not to send them. Now, sometimes I might actually read your brief, And I might actually call you on the phone and say, that was a good brief. I appreciate you sending it to me. Larry Beecraft oftentimes sends me something. And if you're listening, Larry, I read them all. Every time Larry sends me something, I read it. But when Joe Sixpack sends me something, I may or may not read it. So I don't want you to be offended if I don't read your brief. I suspect that what you're looking for is a little free legal advice. And I want you to understand that I'm not a lawyer. So I'm not licensed, bonded, or insured. And I can't give you legal advice. And then I suspect that sometimes people send me these things asking for these legal opinions, and they're actually from the Justice Department, or they're from the State Bar Association, or somebody who's seeking to entrap me in the law so that they can prosecute me. Now, I'm sure that most of you people out there who are sending all of these briefs and these legal opinions to me are not trying to entrap me, but I want to point out to you that if you sent me one and ask me, would you please critique this? I can't do that. That's against the law. Now, it shouldn't be against the law, and we should be able to communicate under free speech under the First Amendment, and you should be able to solicit my opinion, and I should be able to give it to you freely. But you see, the American Bar Association has a monopoly on legal opinions. And because they have that monopoly on these legal opinions, all of you lay people out there have to go to a lawyer if you want a legal opinion. Now, here at the law school, we have one legal loophole here that we can follow. I can teach law, and I do. So if you want to come here and learn the law, I can teach you the law. But if you say to me, would you please give me your opinion concerning this or that or something else, the answer is no, I can't. Okay. Now, if that's too deep for you and you can't understand that, let me see if I can clear this up a little bit. Let's suppose for the sake of our discussion here, talking about Miranda versus Arizona, you say, well, what's your legal opinion concerning Miranda versus Arizona? I can't tell you. If you said, could you teach me Miranda versus Arizona? Come on here, son, sit down. Let me sharpen your pencil on both ends. Yeah, Miranda versus Arizona, cited at 384 U.S. 436, decided in 1964. And yes, here it is, 109 pages of solid, hard-hitting material. And let's take a look at it. We could do that all day long, and we do. Now, that's called instruction. Now, we can sit here and we can learn. You and I can sit here and we can study together. But when you start asking me for my legal opinions, you know, I can't do it. Now, you can ask me, well, what in your personal opinion, Mr. Gordon, do you think about that? Or what would you do if you were in my place? Now, I could answer that. And the reason I point this out is because many times you'll write me a letter, and I'm sure that you're totally innocent. But I'm sure that some of you guys out there that are writing to me are working for the Justice Department or the FBI or the State Bar Association, and you have wickedness and evil in your heart toward me. And that's just where reality's at. So I just wanted to let you know that. Sometimes people will send me a letter and they want medical advice. I got a letter in here, and I'll cover this here for you in a day or two. But a guy sent me a letter the other day when we're talking about medical advice. Let me cover this one while I'm at it. And he said, my friend had a gallstone or a kidney stone. He had a kidney stone attack, or he had something like that. He wrote me an email, and it said emergency on the email. And then he described his friend who has kidney stones. And I said, well, now, what do you do about that? Now, I remember you talked about that on one of your radio programs, but I couldn't remember which radio program and so on. Well, the thrust of my medical or my health programs is not to give you medical advice. And again, because that's against the law. Let's suppose for the sake of our discussion, you send me an email and you say, now, Mr. Gordon, I have this lump on my arm, and I think it's cancer. Could you tell me how to remove that lump? And I say, yes, let me tell you how to do that. That's called a diagnosis and a prescription. That's called practicing medicine without a license. That's a felony in many places, and I don't want to go to jail. I don't have a medical license. I'm not a medical doctor. I know what causes cancer, and I avoid it like AIDS, herpes, and VD. Most medical doctors do not know what causes cancer. In fact, most medical doctors will admit to you openly, I do not know what causes cancer. That's why I believe that most medical doctors don't know what causes cancer. And so oftentimes I come on the air and I say, well, I know what causes cancer. And furthermore, I know how to cure it. And then you'll write me an email, or you'll call me and you'll say, well, I want you to tell me the answer. And I say, well, I can't do that. I can't even do it for free. Free. It isn't that I'm charging you, you know, to cure your cancer or something. I couldn't cure your cancer for you. I couldn't offer to do that for you for free. First of all, it violates both laws. It violates the law of God. Did you know that God Almighty himself says in Exodus 15:26 that I am your healer? So if you thought George Gordon was your healer, let me correct you right here. I'm not. I never claimed to be. Furthermore, the state of Missouri says that your healer is your local allopathic family medical doctor practitioner. He is your healer by law. So, I mean, you've got both gods here. You've got the God of Missouri and you've got the God of creation telling you plainly George Gordon is not your healer. And if I were to tell you how to heal that or what cures that or what causes that, you know, God's going to get on my hiney because I'm in violation of Exodus 15:26, and then the state of Missouri is going to get on me, and I'm not even going to get paid. So you want me to violate the law of both gods, offer me no money, and get my tit in the ringer all at the same time. I'm not going to do that. So let's understand a couple of things here and be intelligent people about this. There are 19 health laws. 19. Write that down. 19. And if you will send me a stamped self-addressed envelope, because I don't want to have to write out your address and I don't want to pay 50 cents to send this to you. But if you'll send me a stamped self-addressed envelope and just put on there, would you send me these 19 health laws? I will go to the scripture. It's in our Mosaic Law book. And those of you that go to the Mosaic Law School here, now one of the subjects that we cover is health. And I will show you these 19 health laws. Hell, I'll show you the 19 health laws free of charge. It won't cost you none. I can do that. That comes under religious free exercise. Constitution protects me there. The First Amendment to the federal constitution. I can tell you what these 19 health laws are. Now here's the deal. Your creator, the guy that made you, I mean, you know, not the evolutionary guy, not the evolutionary god, you know, the random chance guy, and the creator of the universe, built into your body an immune system. You got a hell of a neat invention there. It's called an immune system. And it will protect you against the viruses, bacteria, mold, spores. It will heal your cancer. It'll clean out the atherosclerosis in your arteries automatically. But you have to do certain things. There's some things you got to do. And you got to follow these 19 laws. Now, let me just give you one. One of the laws says you shall eat no manner of fat. Now, when you go down to McDonald's and you eat a hamburger, and God loves McDonald's, it's really not their fault. The hamburger that they buy it from Armor Star or Swift or somebody. It's got 30% fat, 70% lean. And so here you are eating this fat, and this fat plugs up your arteries, and this is why you have atherosclerosis and why Americans have the highest incidence of cardiovascular disease in the world. We eat more fat than anybody in the world, and we have the highest incidence of cardiovascular disease. Now, your creator told you don't do that. Now, all I am is a crummy reporter. Always remember that, a crummy reporter. I didn't invent this. I didn't make it up. It isn't true because I'm telling it to you, and it wouldn't be false if I didn't tell you. I can't affect it one way or the other. I can't make it true. I can't make it false. I can't make it go faster. I can't make it go slower. I can report on it. Nothing more, nothing less. That's all I'm doing. Just giving you a report. It's in Leviticus 3, verse 17, the creator of the universe. You know, the guy that put the sun where it's at and the moon and the stars, the guy that created all the animals and plants, you know, did it in 6 days, he said. I know you don't believe it. He's a lying SOB, but that's neither here nor there, whether you believe the guy or not. He gave you another instruction. He said, don't eat any fat. Now, you people are all smarter than God. And besides that, McDonald's tastes real good. And McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's, by God, that tastes real good. And I don't deny it. But there's a law there. It's a health law. He said, don't do that. And if you people eat that fat, it will plug up your arteries, and you will have heart attack or stroke or cancer or all three or some other combination. Guaranteed. Or double your money back. Now, that's one out of 19. I'll give all 19 of them to you if you send me a stamp self-addressed envelope. And then just tell me I want those 19 health laws, and I'll go. I got a piece of paper in here, just 19 scriptures, show you where they're all at, and you go read them for yourself. And then you can decide whether or not you want to follow that regimen or not. I'm not here to tell you to follow that regimen. I don't care if you eat fat. I don't care if your veins are plugged up, and I don't care if you die from cardiovascular disease. I don't know you. I don't care anything about you. You're just listening to the radio, and I'm telling you a story. I'm doing my job, and you can listen if you want, or you can turn it off. I don't care. No skin off my hind end, one way or the other. But I enjoy telling people, hey, did you know that your government is working against you by telling you to eat Jimmy Dean pure pork sausage? That's a crime, and that if you do that, it's going to come back and bite you in the hind end. So I enjoy doing my work, and I'm not lying to you when I say I get a big kick out of it. All right, now with that out of the way, let's see. Oh, I want to tell you. So it was number five? Okay, here's number five. He says, so I stumbled across your website while looking for the real news on the web, and I have some things in common with you. I'm a father of three, husband of one. We keep the weekly Sabbath and the annual Sabbath, and we keep the health laws, and we're returning to farm life and plan on implementing the land Sabbath in our rotation. We need to read more of your site, but from what I've seen so far, you may have some information that I could use. And I was curious if you keep the Feast of Tabernacles, and if so, where do you plan on keeping it this fall? We have not made a final decision on our destination yet. All right, well, the answer is yes, I do keep the Feast of Tabernacles. It's one of seven annual holy days that you can read about in Leviticus chapter 23. I keep the Feast of Tabernacles right here on my farm. I have for the last 25 years. Sometimes I'll leave the farm and go stay in a resort or something, but generally speaking, I do it right here on the farm. Now, when you say you haven't decided on your final destination as yet, and I presume that you're saying, gee, maybe I'll consider doing the feast with you on your farm, and you should put that out of your mind because this is by invitation only. And the only people that we invite here are serious players in the game, no casual observers. We do not entertain the idle curious here. This is a law school, and when people come here, they come here twice a year, in the spring at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Passover, and in the fall at the Feast of Tabernacles, where we teach the Mosaic Law and the doctrines. So when people come here, they come here because they are serious players in the game. And now you may be a serious player in the game, and maybe you do the Feast of Tabernacles, you know, for many, many years and so on. God love you for it, and I encourage you to keep on doing it. But, again, my problem here was years ago, when we started doing this, you know, 25 years ago or so, we just invited anybody that wanted to come. You know, some guy said, hey, I'd like to come visit you and do the feast. I said, well, come on over here, partner. You're welcome. And then one day I found I had Mormons in here trying to convert people to Mormonism. And I had witches that practice witchcraft, and they came in here, and they're trying to sell their witchcraft. And I took a look at that, and of course my students are sitting there saying, hey, Gordon, what in the hell is this? You got Mormons selling Mormonism and witches selling witchcraft. And now I didn't intend to bring people here to my festivals or to the festivals of the scripture and have other proselytizers over here try to proselytize them into their churches and organizations. And so I woke up one day and I said, well, that's fine. If you Mormons want to convert people to Mormonism, that's fine. And you witches and sodomites, you want to convert people to your philosophies, that's great. But not on my nickel and not on my farm. Go stage your own festival. So what we do is we reserve it just for those people who have already done the Mosaic Law and the doctrines, or who have purchased those schools and are coming here to school. That's the purpose behind it. It's school. And then one time we did the Passover here, and I had a lady out there, and she said, this is the most brutal, pagan, rotten thing I have ever seen in my life. I said, well, Jesus, lady, I'm sorry that you're offended. But I did the Passover exactly as Exodus 12 requires. There's 53 things we have to do, and I didn't write them down. And if it's offensive to you, I'm real sorry. So that's why I don't invite you people. You lay people, you know, all you Catholics, Protestants, and Jews, hell, I don't want you in here watching like the curious idol. I wonder what he's going to do. I'm not going to tell you, and I'm not going to show you. And if at some time you actually get to where you're a serious player in the game, then I'll talk to you. But, you know, not, this isn't for the curious and the idol. All right, with that out of the way, let me remind you, I'm about out of time here, that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. And the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing. Of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.